Hare Krishna. This morning we're giving class in Srimad Bhagavatam, and Uddhava is speaking about the disappearance of his own dynasty, the Yadu dynasty, Andakas, Rishis, and so on. And there are different instructive features of, well, the verse that we dealt with today. One of them was how Srila Prabhupada, in the verse itself, and not even in the purport, although it wasn't in the actual Sanskrit, but in his translation, he put in that the demigods were the ones who went to Prabhas to perform this sacrifice and bathe and give charity, and the Nitya Siddhas, or the eternal associates of the Lord, remained in Dwarka. Srila Prabhupada then goes on further to elaborate that Nitya Siddhas and Sadhana Siddhas are two class of devotees. The Nitya Siddha, he says, never fall down from the spiritual world. If they come to the material world, it's only upon Krishna's request. And then he says that of those who are sadhakas, there are the pure and the impure. What we did concentrate on in the class, and we're from this podcast, gets his name, was the inevitability of the Yadu's disappearance. Krishna appears in this world. That also means that it's inevitable that he also leaves this world. I mean, everyone who comes has to leave, even if they have a transcendental form. So Krishna also has to leave, but how will Krishna leave? So in order to script a pastime, Krishna arranged, and it's also described in this verse. It's described how the Yadus became bewildered by Krishna's desire, because otherwise how could they think that they're going to leave Dwarka, which is a transcendental place, to perform some religious activity in some other sacred place. No place as sacred as Dwarka, aside from Mathura and Vrindavan. So why would they want to leave? Because Krishna bewildered them. Similarly, by Krishna's arrangement, the Yadu dynasty became cursed, and that curse started with the story of the younger boys of the Yadus dressed Samba up and made him look like a pregnant girl, and took him to some sages, which included Durvasa and Narada and others, and asked them, "Well, when is this? Is this? Can you use your mystic power to tell us whether this girl is going to give birth to a boy and a girl?" So, of course, the sages did have real mystic power beyond what the bewildered youths thought they did, and they recognized that this was actually just a steel ball. Interesting that it's a steel ball. It gives you an idea of how strong the Yadus were. Usually, if a boy wants to dress up as a pregnant girl, he'll take a balloon or a football or something. You don't carry a steel ball in your stomach. It's a pretty weighty thing to carry around. But for them, this wasn't a problem at all. So the sages said, what's in her stomach is going to be the cause of the destruction of your entire dynasty. Now, what's interesting here is that, of course, the boys went back in a panic to Maharaj Ugrasen, who try to avoid destiny. Karmana daivani trina. You can't avoid your fate. Fate is the will of the Supreme, and the only way to avoid it is mamekam sharanam braja, is to surrender to Krishna, and Krishna can purify us from our material karma. But when Krishna wants something to happen, well, then that's it. You can never avoid that. You're not going to be able to avoid your Krishna karma, because it's Krishna directly who's giving it. And unless he has some particular reason that he wants to again release you from that karma, then he won't. So Maharaj Ugrasen ground up the ball into powder and had the powder thrown out into sea. The powder then turned into bulrushes or bamboo, which then and it looked like bamboo, which when the Yadavas were they got intoxicated when they were performing these ritualistic activities and started to argue amongst each other, and they started to fight, and they picked up this cane to hit each other. Obviously, that's not a not such a dangerous weapon, but the cane turned back into steel rods in their hands, and then that became the end of their dynasty. They killed each other. Although it's described as being a magical illusion that takes place, which is an interesting phrase, because it doesn't say that it's yoga maya, but it says that it's a magical illusion that this fratricidal war actually took place. And the piece, which, well, when you grind down something like when you grind sandalwood, then there's only so far you can go before you start grinding your fingers. So a little piece that was left, that was also thrown out to sea, and the fisherman Jara caught that with a hunter, and he made an arrowhead out of it, and that was the arrow that was supposedly shot at Krishna. So here the example is very clear, is that no matter what you do, you cannot change your fate, especially you cannot change the will of the Lord. And of course Krishna's appearance in this world is for paritanaya sadunam and binasha chaduskritam, to remove the burden of the earth. The earth was really burdened before Krishna's time. So many demons, so many armies, so many weapons. And after all the demons were killed, then the Yadus became an equal burden. They also had weapons. The only difference between them and the demons is because they were Krishna's own family, they were undefeatable. You couldn't defeat them in battle. So Krishna also wanted to remove them, and therefore he arranged for this curse. The situation at the present time in the world is very similar. The world is really overburdened with armies, although everyone wants peace, at least that's what they say. But still, all we do is have huge armies. Military, the production of arms is the biggest industry in the world, and it's what generates the most funds. A surplus of weapons is there, from conventional weapons to nuclear warheads, much more than is really needed to get the job done if they really wanted to have a war. And Srila Prabhupada pointed out that when you have these nuclear warheads, then you're bound to use them. When you have weapons, you use them. Therefore, it was inevitable that there would be a war, Third World War. Srila Prabhupada, of course, also said that that war was avoidable, and I'll come to that. But why is the war inevitable? Just because there's weapons? Not really just because of the people, but it's because of their karma. It's because of their faith. So Srila Prabhupada also pointed to slaughterhouses, that as long as people keep slaughtering innocent animals, they're going to have to also be slaughtered in retaliation in horrible wars. Not only, of course, is the slaughter of animals the cause of karma, but you couldn't get a list together, or at least it would be a very, very long list if you did, of all the sinful activities, abortion, and you name it, that people are engaged in, for which they have to be punished. They have to be relieved of that karma. And there's two ways of getting free from the karma. One is antam sarva papebhyo, you surrender to Krishna. And the other one is that you have to live it out. So Srila Prabhupada said, as mentioned earlier, that a war is avoidable. He said, how do you do that? He said, by distributing books. If you distribute my books, then a war is avoidable. Why? Why does book distribution or preaching or Nam Sangatan make a war avoidable? Because people change their lifestyle. They're able to then amtam sarva papebhyo, to become free from the results of their sinful activities. And if people take up devotional service, chant Hare Krishna, and become of their sinful activities, then they no longer have to burn off their karma by living it out, by being punished for all of their many sinful acts. But if the Krishna consciousness movement doesn't succeed in getting people to change their conduct, change their way of life, then it will be inevitable that fate must take its course, destiny must take its course, and then all of these weapons will then be used, as was used at the time of the Yadavas. And even if, like with the Yadavas, all of these weapons are destroyed, just like they want to have nuclear disarmament, even if you get rid of the nuclear arms, but still the war will be there. The Yadus had ground up that ball into just a little powder, and there just appeared to be just some reeds. Oh yes, reeds, that was the word I was looking for. Just some regular reeds by the shore. But those reeds transform into dangerous weapons. So in the same way, karma can't be avoided. You can have as many peace conferences as you want. You can have nuclear disarmament. You can get rid of all the weapons in the world. But unless people stop sinful activity or purify their sinful acts through devotional service, then they have to get the results of their karma. This is the basic principle of this material world. And then, of course, for devotees who are already living according to the will of the Lord and are free from karmic reaction, but still they get some Krishna karma. They get Krishna karma because Krishna uses a certain element of our past karma in order to educate us and bring us out of the range of impure sadhakas to pure sadhakas, and from pure sadhakas to perfected sadhakas. Because by hearing alone, it's a very rare person that will really learn by hearing. We need to go through experience, and that experience is what also purifies us and keeps us away from getting further entangled in material life as our hearts become pure. Hare Krishna.